to Issues in Education, a nationwide program dedicated to moral and academic excellence in America. And now, here are your hosts for Issues in Education, Bob and Jerry Boyd.
God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the innocent little children to put to shame the wisdom of the world. The following paper was given to children in a seventh grade science class. Listen carefully. 20 billion years ago, there was nothing. No light, no matter, no time, no me, no you, not even emptiness. There was not even space. Isn't that clever? Then all of a sudden, boom, for a reason that not even scientists fully understand, a tremendous explosion took place. And a fiery ball of light, energy, surged out, flooding the nothingness with blinding light and heat, creating a dimension which we call space and time. One Christian seventh grader who had a good biblical education immediately saw the foolishness of this Big Bang fairy tale of creation. Mandy Simons wrote on her homework assignment that anyone who can believe a fairy tale like this Big Bang theory will believe anything. Mandy, tell the listeners what the paper said that your teacher passed out that day.
The paper said that the universe started with nothing. No air, no, you know, nothing, absolutely nothing. And then suddenly, all this nothing was a huge explosion, which was the Big Bang. And then this big explosion turned into a very hot place with the electromagnetic forces.
This all came from that just one...
One big thing out of absolutely nothing. No air, no molecules.
No God.
No, nothing. It was really funny because five or six kids shot up their hands and said, what if we don't believe in this stuff?
All right.
They said, this stuff doesn't make sense. I mean, out of nothing, you can't have this huge explosion.
Pretty scientific for seventh grade.
And they said, everybody knows that God created the earth, God created the stars, the everything, and just a big bang. You can't create the fundamentals needed for life.
Yeah, some of the students asked for a demonstration. Let's see how an explosion can produce anything.
Really? I was very surprised to see that how many kids, I mean, when one student said that, everybody in the class goes, yeah, I mean, those poor students, nobody can create something out of nothing.
So what did the teacher say?
He said, hey, I don't believe in it either, but you don't have to believe in this junk. Just do what the paper says and do what you're assigned.
Wow. Well, now, was he a Christian teacher?
I don't know if he's a Christian teacher. I know.
But yet he said he didn't believe in this stuff either, right?
No, he said it's, you know, there's no evidence to prove it. It's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a theory. There's no actual proof.
Yes, but scientists believe it, and your teacher teaches it.
I still don't believe it because nothing can't turn into a Big Bang.
That's a good point, Mandy. In fact, in recent discoveries, scientists have said that the Big Bang could not have produced the galaxies that make up the Great Wall of Space. This Great Wall of Space forms a sheet of at least 500 million light years long. No scientist has ever come up with a force, even the Big Bang, that could have produced the size of this Great Wall of Space. And yet, the Big Bang theory is still taught in public schools.
And this I got from my dad's work. They said that the Big Bang theorists admitted, and this is quotes, the universe couldn't have formed into its complex string of galaxies called the Great Wall from the Big Bang Theory.
And yet they're teaching it to junior high and high school students.
Right, as a theory. But, I mean, it's pretty bad when they admit that there's no way possibly it could have even happened.
Hey, that's beside the point. Don't confuse me with the facts. We've got to hold tightly onto our scientific theories. Otherwise, what are we left with? God? Golly, that's religious. No, it's scientific. Your theories are religious.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they talk about God at all, or was he willing to talk about God maybe being the designer?
One of the papers did say, this is a theory many people believe a God created the earth, the heavens, and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
But the theory and their there is supposedly evidence that a Big Bang occurred.
Do you get a lot of evolution taught to you?
Yes. Well, it's not. It's in that class especially. They were talking about like the orthodox, the birds.
Oh, you mean Archaeopteryx, not orthodox.
That supposedly had a reptile and yet bird-like features.
Oh, yes. Archaeopteryx is a fossilized bird that was supposed to be the link between reptiles as they changed into birds. But today, many paleontologists simply classify Archaeopteryx as a bird. But, Nandy, let me ask you, did Archaeopteryx look to you like a half-reptile, half-bird, or simply a bird?
He showed us pictures of it, and it looked just like a normal bird. I mean, you know, birds have scales on their legs, and he thought that that was a proof for evolution.
So, Mandy, here's a fossilized bird held up as proof that reptiles changed into birds. But why don't we see reptiles changing into birds today? How does anyone know? Has anyone ever observed a reptile changing into a bird? No. What we have is simply a fossilized bird that was a bird and not a reptile. And yet this is supposed to be proof, making evolution...
You know, they say it's a fact.
Yeah, they try to make it out as a fact, but even in the papers it said this is a theory.
But it's accepted in public schools all across the nation as if it really happened. So what's the big deal? Well, science classes teach 90% of our Christian children that go to public schools that reptiles became birds and monkeys became men. So even though it's just a theory, it's presented, and other theories are not presented, such as our belief that God created one man, Adam. And God created Adam as a man, not a half man, half ape. So this is important. One theory is taught and labeled a, quote, scientific theory, but the truth of what really happened is not mentioned, not at all. It's not mentioned as a scientific theory, but it's called religion. And so it's censored, not even considered to be allowed in the science class. Is it any wonder that 70% of our Christian children stop attending church 2 years after graduation?
It's good you know the truth, and you know that God did create the heavens and the earth, but what about the young children that don't have that foundation like you do?
You know, I feel really sorry for them,
mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't know the love of God, of how we're just these little tiny things sitting in His hand.
That's right.
And that they have no idea what power He has and what He created with His hands.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe it. They think, oh, well, there's this big explosion and, you know, Earth was created and then we all evolved out of little molecules and birds and animals.
Right, and that's keeping them from God, though. The longer that they continue to think this, it's separating them from the truth.
It definitely is, because they, you know, when they're told, they've been taught this, and then when they're told, you know, no,
right.
That's not true. You know, God created it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they know who God is,
mm-hmm.
But they're just like,
but we've learned this.
Right. So, this is what we've been taught. Mm-hmm. So how can that be right when they're not teaching us that?
That's true. It's like confusing.
Right. It's very confusing. It's very confusing because, I mean, it's, you know, what they write down is very convincing.
It really is. So it sounds so scientific, doesn't it?
It sounds so scientific and so positive. And, you know, even the movies he showed us were about just apes into humans.
So they show that on the movie?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They show, like, the stages of the ape turning into the human.
Wow, how did they ever film that?
They showed that, you know, the pictures, the cartoons.
Oh. Cartoons? I thought they were... That doesn't sound very convincing.
No, but it's the way they state it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way they say, well, these are the similarities. And if you look at the... They show our teacher had an ape skull and a human skull.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at them together, they look an awful lot alike. It's very convincing to say, you know, that an ape could have turned into a human from the way they walk, the way, you know, their intelligence,
mm-hmm.
and their skulls and their bones, the way they're constructed.
Cartoons are really convincing. Beautifully drawn pictures can come to life on the screen. Fish are shown as growing legs and becoming amphibians, and monkeys straighten up and lose some hair and a few changes here and there, and you can really make it seem real. It's like the werewolf changing back into a man right before your eyes. If you've ever seen the werewolf, all that hair disappears and his features get more human. And it's incredible. But Mandy, there is no fossil record that supports these pictures of this movie. It's all a fabrication of an imaginative artist. So vulnerable children like you, Mandy, innocent of the skill of the artist making these drawings and movies, soon believe that it's true, that one kind of animal became another kind of animal. But similarity of design does not mean one turned into another. Just because a monkey looks like a person doesn't mean the person came from the monkeys any more than the monkey came from the people.
The theory is just full of these deep holes that cannot be answered.
Well,
they don't even have possible answers.
Mandy, you're simply too logical to be an evolutionist. That's where the atheist exercises his faith. The only trouble is it's unscientific. Thank you, Mandy Simon. Mandy's dad is Dr. Bob Simons, president of Citizens for Excellence in Education, an organization that informs parents about issues facing Christians in public schools. Dr. Simons, we really appreciated your daughter's comments about her science class, but it seems the Creator has been forgotten about in his creation.
They made it very, very, very clear that God wasn't involved. There was no intelligence. There was no Creator. And when he handed it out in class, I thought it was interesting because Mandy challenged it right off and said, Mr. Debelkis, do you really believe this? Anyone would believe this would believe in fairy tales. And all the kids laughed and they clapped and supported her. And so the whole class thought the paper was just ridiculous. So finally he lost his cool a little bit and said, well, I'm not asking you to believe it. He said, I don't believe it either, but that's what the lesson is, and that's what I want you to write down. I want you to write the answers down.
Isn't that amazing? He didn't believe it either.
Yeah, he confessed that he didn't believe it either. and yet he teaches evolution as a fact all the time. But I thought it was kind of cute how the whole class was against the idea. I mean, these are kids that none of them believe that theory.
That
they all thought God created. And they said so right in class. They said, everybody knows God created the heavens and the earth.
I was really impressed that Mandy stood up and just she wasn't afraid to make her belief known.
That's right, Jerry. She really did. And I've instructed her and all our children. We have five that have gone through public schools not to do that in class, but to do it privately to the teacher. But she kind of... this one was a little bit more than she could take.
Yeah, it really riled her up.
Yeah, she really got riled up when she read that. She really recognized it for what it was. You know, they're saying there's no God. God didn't create anything. This whole thing happened by accident, you know. She just couldn't sit there.
No.
Most secular teachers haven't had any scientific training to equip them to teach creationism. And also it's hard for a Christian student who doesn't know anything to refute the scientific information they get at school. That's why it's good for parents to get good books that tell the truth about scientific creation.
Parents want their kids to be strong in Christ. They have to first teach them, and they have to model that, and they have to encourage them, and then they have to support them.
Well, Dr. Simons, can you recommend a book for parents maybe who want to get their kids on the right course and be able to defend what they believe at school?
I think one of the books that that helped Mandy most was The Amazing Story of Creation by Dr. Dwayne Gish from the Institute of Creation Research in San Diego. That book is beautifully, beautifully color illustrated, and it explains in the most simple terms the creation of man and all the universe. That book was key. She took that book with her to school the next day and gave it to her instructor. And her instructor was very excited about getting that book. And ever since he got that book, he has been really open to the creation side of the evolutionary picture. So he hasn't been dogmatic about evolution since she gave him that book. So children have a great influence also on their instructors. If the instructor gets something in their hands, the thing that parents forget, I think, Bob, is that most instructors in the public schools have no idea to what creation science is, nothing to go by. And so when the kid gives the instructor a really beautifully bound good book, and when they get one of those things, they realize it's a gift. They realize that's an expensive book, and that someone has cared enough to give that to them, and they read it, and it influences everything they say in the classroom from that day forward.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great witness. I think if parents want to be a witness to their instructors, give their children the right kind of book to give to their instructors, rather than the parents doing it.
That's a good idea.
Thanks, Dr. Simons. Dr. Robert Simons was a teacher and an administrator for many years in the public school. Now he is president of Citizens for Excellence in Education. Dr. Simons has made the point that a teacher will take a book from one of his students and he'll read it. But if a parent gives them a book, they may feel that you're just pushing your religion off on them. So an excellent way to witness to a teacher is to give them a good book, such as the one Dr. Simons mentioned, The Amazing Story of Creation by Dr. Duane Gish. That book is available in most Christian bookstores, but if you'd like to order one from us, we'll be happy to tell you how to at the end of the program. But listen, science teachers are not scientists. They're not scientists, but they're teachers who teach what they know about science. But Christian teachers are responsible to carefully research all the information about origins before they present it in their classroom. I'd like to play a cut for you of a speech given to a group of parents by Eric Buer. Eric tells what he did as a Christian teacher in public schools before presenting origins.
I'm not a scientist. How could I talk about evolution? Some of the most brilliant men in America are studying evolution and are working on that whole system. Well, so I figured I really got to do my research. Started doing some reading. Read a professor of physics at City University in New York by the name of Edward Tryon. He's got an interesting theory. It's really catching on. A lot of educators are now catching on to it. He said this: the universe evolved spontaneously out of nothing. The universe evolved spontaneously out of nothing. And he goes on, it's a quote from him, and he explains it this way: our universe is simply one of those things which happens from time to time. That's science? Come on! No, there really is a whole movement in physics now that says, well, see, because they had a problem, you know. Creationists could always get them because they would simply say, we came from this molten mass, this ooze out there, this chemical soup. So you'd always say, well, where'd the chemical soup come from? And that always, you know, blew a circuit in their brain because they couldn't figure that one out. So now they've come up with a new one. Started out of nothing. Really? Yeah, there was nothing there. And then, this is what they say, nothing there, then nothing started to vibrate. And as the vibrations vibrated, then you've got a proton, and then you've got, the nucleus forms and so forth, and then you've got life. That's amazing. That's great. That's basic Hinduism. I mean, we didn't need to pay scientists for that. We could just bring over Hindu religion and believe that, because their Hindus believe that all is illusion. This is really nothing. It's just vibrations of energy. But anyway, you know, Carl Sagan. How many of you heard of Carl Sagan? Oh, nobody's heard of Carl Sagan? Billions and billions. Cosmos. He wrote the book Cosmos, and he's on public broadcasting and so forth. He says this, the lead thing, capital letters, the entire sentence is capital letters in his book. He wants you to know his statement of faith regarding evolution. He says this: the cosmos is all there ever was, all there is, and all there ever will be. Now, science did not tell him that. That's a statement of faith. Science cannot tell you that that's all there ever was. That's all there is. There is no metaphysical. There is no spiritual dimension. It's only a material dimension. That's not scientific. That's a faith stance. Evolution basically says there is no God. And if there is no God, then how do we get... You know, it all depends on your assumptions. That's the whole thing in evolution. You know, I do all this research and I finally figure out, hey, it's just what you assume. You take an evolutionist far enough back, he's got to assume there's no God. Take a creationist far enough back, he assumes there's a God. It's all your assumptions. What's even worse is the religious persecution that goes on among educators who believe in creationism. There's a guy who's writing a book, our Ohio State director, who's written a book, it's out now, called The Criterion, where he documents 50 cases where educators have been fired from their job or denied tenure because they are what he calls out-of-the-closet creationists. And they let people know that they're creationists, and that does it for their career. He was fired from his job for being an out-of-the-closet creationist. His name is Dr. Jerry Bergman. He was a professor at Bowling Green State University. And he was fired because he was an out-of-the-closet creationist. And here are the credentials for an out-of-the-closet creationist. For an incompetent teacher. He was declared incompetent. Okay? And because there's a whole school of thought among higher education that says that if you're a creation scientist, by that very definition, by that very title, you've declared your own incompetence. But here's the credentials of an incompetent professor, Dr. Jerry Bergman. He graduated summa cum laude from Wayne State University with a perfect 4.0 GPA. He holds a BA with the equivalent of a major in psychology, sociology, education, and biology. an M.A. in education and psychology, and a Ph.D. in evaluation and research. And in his all his B.A., M.A., and Ph.D. work, he received a perfect 4.0 GPA. His 1,000-page doctoral thesis was accepted on the first draft without revision. He has been an associate professor of psychology at Spring Arbor College. He was on the undergraduate and graduate faculties for 7 years at Bowling Green State University. He has written over 250 articles for both professional and lay magazines. He wrote more articles than anyone in his university, and he wrote more articles than his entire department combined. He was fired and declared incompetent.
Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Eric Buer. Dr. Bergman got a perfect, straight A, 4.0 grade average in all his classes to get his B.A., M.A., and Ph.D. What a brilliant man. And yet he got fired. He was declared incompetent because he believed in God as a creator. But at least Dr. Bergman got through his schooling. Many others never get their degrees because they're discovered to be creationists, so they never even get through school. So why is evolution only being taught? Well, because of discrimination against those who hold the opposing view, because of peer pressure to conform or be fired. So what's the big deal? Well, we're losing Christian students. In fact, 70% do not come back to church after they graduate from high school. They don't return because their faith has been switched at school. And so they're converted to atheism, or they become a practical atheist who still has a heart for Christ, but he has the mind of a secular humanist who sees no connection between God and their daily lives. But statistics don't have much feeling unless you know a son or brother or friend who used to be a Christian but drifted away from the faith. Such was the story of Roger Oakland. He was raised in a Christian family, but his schooling taught him about evolution, and gradually his faith in God was eroded. He soon believed in evolution and became a biology teacher teaching others about evolution and how man came from the primates. But after several years, Roger Oakland's eyes were opened, and he realized he'd been deceived. Today, Roger Oakland is an author, a researcher, and a lecturer on the subject of evolution creation. Roger, did you ever really believe in evolution?
At one time, I did believe in evolution. That's what I was brought up to believe in and through the public school systems, and then later recognized that evolution did not have the scientific evidence to support it, became a creationist, and now I travel around the country presenting the creation worldview, contrasting with the evolution worldview.
Well, do all of the teachers who present evolution really believe it themselves?
Well, what has happened to many teachers, and what happened to myself through the educational system, is that the professors in the universities and then the teachers in the public schools have been told that evolution happened. And very few have actually looked at the factual, observable evidence and thought through this for themselves to see if it did or it didn't. They have accepted it because their peers told them that it happened. Evolution is a belief system. It is not based on factual, observable evidence. No one has ever observed, for example, a Big Bang creating order. No one has ever observed non-life becoming life. No one has observed a species changing and becoming a new species. Yet evolution believes all of these things happened. So if we're going to look at these two systems, creation or evolution, which indeed are both belief systems, the physical, observable evidence that we see in the world today better lines up with the creationist beliefs than it does the evolutionary beliefs. Now, public schools are convinced that only evolution should be presented because they think it's scientific. They say it's scientific, yet no one can reproduce the experiments to show how life spontaneously generated from non-life. Now, this is what concerns me. Children in schools are only given one side of the view. They say, according to the educational perspective, we must only allow them to be taught evolution because that's what scientists believe. Evolution is being indoctrinated without opposition.
And why is that harmful?
It's harmful for a couple of things. It's not good science. Science is supposed to be based on observable evidence. And evolution isn't based on observable evidence. We haven't observed non-order becoming order. Therefore, we've had to come up with even new theories. The chaos theory, for example, is one of the newest theories that evolutionists are using, saying that chaos becomes order, although we've never observed this physically happening. They say that non-life becomes life, although we've never observed this happening. And they're telling us that inherent actually in molecules is this creative energy or force that brings about order. That's metaphysics, not physics.
Well, Roger, what has happened in evolution and science with regard to the Big Bang theory? Is that still held in high esteem?
The Big Bang Theory is basically bankrupt. Now, there are people today who still claim that, oh, yes, we know we can go back to a minute fraction of a second billions of years ago in the past and know exactly what took place. That isn't science. That is based on speculation. No one can say that they can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt what happened 18 billion years ago. No one was there.
But they're sure it was an explosion.
Well, if that's true, then explosions today should create order. They don't create order.
When did an explosion in a print shop produce an encyclopedia? Thanks, Roger. Roger Oakland's latest book, The Evolution Conspiracy, really gives some insights into the conspiracy, and it is a conspiracy, to explain life apart from God. What was once just a classroom debate between evolution and creation, supposedly between science and religion, now is seen for what it really is, a war between two competing religions, the religion of humanism versus Christianity. And God's people are awakening as millions of people are returning to a creationist worldview. 30 years ago, there were very few knowledgeable people in America who held a creationist view. But now there are literally hundreds of creationist organizations and a myriad of books and all kinds of evidence for creationism. In fact, many scientists and teachers are leaving evolution as they find scientific reasons to believe in God as a creator. Jesus told us to have simple, childlike faith. Children naturally believe in God until they're taught not to. Would you please pray with Mandy Simons as we close today's program? Let's pray.
God, just pray that the kids that can't, that don't know of you and that don't know of your love and your strength, and Lord, just pray that you'll help them, convince them to see the light, to see you, change their hearts, change them to see that you are the only one who could have possibly ever created this earth, and just pray, Lord, that you'll help save them, and just pray, Lord, that the schools and the educational system won't teach us, the kids, the right way to go. And we still love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Simon suggested the book The Amazing Story of Creation by Dr. Dwayne Gish. We also have many fine other books and videos for all ages on creation. Please send for our free catalog. If you would like to pass along a cassette copy of today's program, ask for tape number 161, The Big Bang Burst. That's tape number 161, The Big Bang Burst, for your donation of any amount to this ministry. And may the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
If you would like to write us, or you would like to request an audio tape of today's program, write to Issues in Education, P.O. Box 3200, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. That address once again is Issues in Education, P.O. Box 3200, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Please join us again next week at this same time for Issues in Education.